from Shroud University. This is Russ Brialt bringing you another podcast on the Shroud of Turin, the greatest mystery in the known world.
As I began to reflect on the Shroud's journey through time, I also began to discover the ecumenical dimensions of its travels. Would it be that, in addition to its physical preservation through the ages, God also intended it to be an ecumenical bridge and unifier for the future? Until the day when we can once again share one cup and one loaf, what could serve as a better focus for ecumenical unity than the photograph of the resurrection? To the Jew first and also to the Greek, it says in Romans 1:16, the shroud is moved from the east to the west. Is it merely by chance that in the process it has been lifted up so that all who are being drawn to him whose secret image it bears may become one? Is it merely by chance that those first Jewish disciples who visited the Holy Sepulchre learned of the resurrection from the sacred linen's very emptiness, an experience so powerful that it sent them forth into all the world to share the fullness of its gospel message? Was it by chance that an afflicted Parthian king was cured and converted by it? Was it merely by chance that our Orthodox brothers and sisters were privileged to be its custodians for nearly 1,200 years, meticulously recording in their iconography and numismatics the features of the image of our Lord which it bears? Could it be that God assigned them this very role in response to those first Greeks who approached St. Philip with the plea that we would see Jesus? Was it by chance that the Church of Rome was to be its next and faithful guardian? And is it by chance that now in the 20th century, the worldwide Protestant community is currently coming to appreciate the Holy Shroud's true significance? Even charismatic TV evangelists like those on the Christian Broadcasting Network, the Trinity Broadcasting Network in the United States, have devoted hour-long programs to the Shroud of Mystery, and they came to Turin from the opening day, proclaimed its authenticity, and are now raising money to restore the cathedral which houses it. History's very preservation of the Holy Cloth should alert the ecumenical community to a divine purpose which should not be ignored. Though no branch of Christianity has ever required belief in the Shroud's authenticity as an article of faith, many denominations are now coming to perceive that it can and should be a way of adding both depth and detail to a faith already held. Should Christians be amazed at such a response? I don't think so. From that first Easter morning when the Magdalene saw two angels in the place where Jesus had laid, one at the head and one at the feet. Would that be a description of the ventral and dorsal images of the man of the shroud? People have responded in awe to the sacred image which it bears. Father O'Collins, a Jesuit, notes that in the Old Testament the primary emphasis was on the ear as an organ by which God was to be known. Shema Israel, hear O Israel, the Lord our God is one. However, a shift occurs in the New Testament when the beloved disciple stoops to look into the empty tomb, and he saw and believed. Are we so blind that we fail to discern that in the study of the shroud, our Lord once again is being lifted up to draw all to himself? Is it not possible that once again, when the time has fully come, God is using this autograph of his Son in his own blood to make him known as never before to a generation gifted with analytical methods heretofore not technically possible? Mirabilidictu, could this Polaroid of the resurrection and the means to reduce same via printed and electronic media all over the world now have the potential to be even more fully appreciated than it was 2,000 years ago? Truly, such implications are staggering. And although the linen is now legally the possession of a pontiff and his successors, its message is for all the world, for it is in reality God's love letter in linen to all mankind. Certainly the Reverend Dr. James Kennedy, a Presbyterian, acknowledges this truth in a sermon entitled, Save the Wrappings. Dr. Kennedy observes that our Lord was born in a borrowed cave, wrapped in linen swaddling clothes, and was buried in a borrowed tomb, enveloped in a linen shroud. And in between these two events was the greatest story ever told. Not we in the 20th century being called by God to use these final wrappings, which God has taken such pains to preserve, to supplement our witness in reaching the hearts of those for whom he lived, died, and rose again. We would do well to heed Sir Wick Bayliss, who at the turn of the century astutely observed that there are at least two gospel traditions, an early one in art and a later one of the written word. The skill of the artist portrayed him as the Son of Man. The pen of Scripture, of the writer of Scripture, brings us to that deeper truth that this Son of Man is also the Christ, the Son of God. The Reverend David Scare, a Lutheran pastor, challenges Christians with his profound article entitled, The Shroud of Turin, Protestant Embarrassment or Opportunity? And in addition to Protestantism's natural aversion to relics, Scare notes that undue reliance on revelation through the written word fails to give just due to the word made flesh in and through history. Scare concludes his article in a journal as follows, The Shroud of Turin may very well be an authentic link with the past, which is not only sacred but real. Acceptance of the authenticity of the shroud obviously cannot be made a criterion for orthodoxy. But a prior refusal to consider the question borders on disregard of the historical claims of Christianity. Perhaps we shall be given the same opportunity as Peter and John to see the burial garments of the Lord.
So his time is over, Advocate.
From Shroud University, this is Russ Brialt. I hope you've enjoyed today's podcast, and we hope you stop back from time to time and see what else is new. Also, check out Shroud University itself with all kinds of videos, audios, video blogs, and pretty much everything you can think of related to the Shroud of Turin, the greatest mystery in the known world.